So this is the Sprint Showcase for Sprint 125. Hoping that some more people might jump in here in a little bit, but we do want to try to get started on time. I'm going to say, just as we're getting started, that this is the first showcase that we have had since we completed version 3.6 and wrapped up the DAC project. So if there are any changes that you'd like to see in the format of how we're doing this, this meeting, please do let me know. I'm open to anything. I don't know if how we've done it in the past will make sense now that we're primarily working as one team as opposed to four separate ones. So I'm open to ideas. So please do let me know if you have anything. So just to get started, I think today we will continue with the normal kind of sprint showcase that we've done in the past. And there's only one theme, maybe a relatively short meeting. Okay, so this was sprint 125. We now have a new team called Team Mind the Parrot. So joining the Teams Mind the App and the Parrot team, the Mind the Parrot. There is no spirit animal for this release, but that's okay. So for this sprint, they are working primarily on releasing 3.6 and then completing some designs. It was a very good sprint. We got through 58 story points across, I think I counted before, and it was 28 individual issues. So a very productive sprint. Well done. When I looked through Sonar earlier, there was only one thing I had a question about. Let me just reload it to make sure there's something else. Most of our quality gates are continuing to pass, but there was one that was failing down here a little bit. Yeah, this one here. Does anybody know what this is? Is this a specific branch?
Yeah, this is a branch, a development branch, and we don't need to consider this.
All right, do you know of a way to get it to stop showing up in here?
I'm sorry, can you repeat?
Do you know of a way to make this stop showing up in this list and to stop being, well, I guess the last one was analyzed.
Yeah, we just looked briefly whether we can somehow achieve that so it doesn't show up on Sonar. But there wasn't really an easy way to do that since every branch is treated as a separate project on Sonar.
Okay. All right. I'll try to just remember it going forward. So that was the only one that was failing, so I think everything else looks good. And that's that.
I think.
Sorry, Josh, I can barely hear you.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
Oh. There might be a filter, like on the left-hand side. If you scroll all the way over to the left, and you scroll all the way down, there's like that, yeah, that OpenElements V3. That one might work for you, or you might need one more filter to create a new filter.
Yeah, that worked.
There you go.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, Josh.
No worries.
All right, I'm going to hand it over to Sebastian now to give the update on the work that was done.
Okay, thanks, Wes. So we have managed to complete quite some tickets and quite good number of story points. I think everyone on the team waited a long time to finally start the development work. So yeah, we are happy to get things done. And we concentrated on two main things. One was starting the designs on the orderables update, and we have started several design tickets to support that. And another priority was dashboard administrative messages. We have also started design and some implementation work, what we will be seeing very soon at the showcase. Other than that, we have managed to complete some of the tickets that have been waiting to be pushed to the master during the code freeze. There were several improvements, several tech debt tickets. We have done quite some work to better support functional tests. I hope that we'll be able to see how functional tests are now able to record what happens in the browser when they fail, and the ability to view complete browser logs. So yeah, I think we'll be seeing variety of tickets, of designs. So it will be an interesting showcase. And with that, I will hand it over to, I believe, Łukasz, who will be showcasing first.
Yes, one moment. Okay, maybe this way. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so during this sprint, I have worked on those three tickets. And the first one is related to releasing the latest version, 3.6. Together with Claudia and Nicodem, we released our services and UI and also Levdisto. On docs, you can see the version 3.6.0. And with release note, also we updated demo environment to the latest release. And test UIT and performance environments to the latest snapshot version of our services. The next one was about adjust Jenkins build for development branches because we started seeing a no space on device error. In the end, we decided to set that for development branch. The builds will be kept maximal 7 days. Only 3 last builds will be available for developers, and for master branch there will be 15. Only latest successful build will have artifacts, and those artifacts will be available for 3 days. And as you can see for this example, for fulfillment, there is a branch called with a number of tickets, and there is only 3 builds, and only the latest one contains artifacts. And those changes have been applied to all repositories, and it should apply for all new branches. Also, as part of the ticket, I removed old branches and builds that failed for release branches. Yeah. So now everything together, I think we get additional 15 gigabytes on Jenkins. In the end, I didn't notice any no space on device error. Okay. And the last one was about to make our functional tests more stable and reliable. In the end, I removed some steps that were not required. I also improved emergency requisition scenarios, it will not be necessary to update period name for each month or quarter, because in past we simply have a period name like May or June and year. Also, I found out that some features do exactly the same steps on this. Exactly the same step, but some parts were different. I merged them, and thanks that the number of tests is lower. Thank you. Currently, functional tests unfortunately fail, but this is because of an issue that has been found by Joanna, and this is related with the fact that it's impossible if when user try to log out, he or she will not see the login model. Yeah, so that's why our test fail right now. And also, I think that because we have two new features, like recording tests and console logs, it will be much easier to find out why some tests fail. And that's everything from me. Do you have any questions? If no, then I thank you, and that's all. I think Paulina is next.
Yes, let me share my screen. So during the last sprint, I completed these two tickets. The first one was about adding some missing unit tests for OpenElements table pane. It was just a simple ticket during the code freeze. So here you can see the test that I added. It checks that the OpenElements table sticky cell is added to the table elements. And the second ticket was, I started work on the second ticket shortly before the release. So it was waiting this whole time, and I was able to close it during this sprint. So the ticket was about introducing second level caching for orderables. So this task didn't require a lot of new configuration. I added some Hibernate A-cache dependencies, and I also added some application properties. So for example, I had to set the use second level cache to true, and also I had to use a region factory, which is a kind of bridge between cache provider and Hibernate. I also added the cache provider, and I set it to be in enable selective mode, which means that only the entities marked as cacheable are cached. So let me show you the orderable entity class. So I just added the cacheable annotation and also a cache annotation with read-write strategy. Thanks to that, the update of entity is safe. That would be basically everything about the configuration. And now let me show you the improvements of time that I measured. So I would like to focus on the measures that I noticed within a session two. So because second level caching is a session factory scoped. So at first, application checks for resources in the first level, and if it doesn't find it there, then it looks for resources in the second level. So we can see that in the second session, there is a significant difference when retrieving all the labels. Like before, it took the first call took about 30 milliseconds, the second one about 13 milliseconds. And after introducing the second level cache, it is just a few thousands of microseconds. So it's just a few times faster than it used to be before. And in the session two, this is a mistake. It should be session two. Unfortunately, I didn't notice any time improvement when referencing orderables, for example, during viewing the position. So this, here, just the first call is the longest one, and later it retrieves data resources from first level cache. So the results are similar both before and after introducing the second level caching. It's about 40, 50 milliseconds for two sessions. Just like it was noticed The biggest improvement is when we retrieve an instance by ID. That would be everything. And my question would be, what will be the next step about this spike? Do we have an idea?
So I don't think we need to discuss that at the showcase, but we'll, at some point we'll want to look at those results, maybe at the technical committee, and then decide whether this is satisfying enough to introduce this for other entities. I think that we're mainly interested in performance gains in those places where we reference order label rather than retrieve order label by ID. So it's a pity we didn't get any improvement there. But we can definitely bring that to the technical committee and see what we want to do next in terms of second level caching or caching in general.
Yeah, that's perfect. Great suggestion, and thank you for showing.
Okay, so that would be everything from me. I can stop sharing and pass the ball to someone else. Thank you.
So who is next on the Gdańsk side?
I can go next.
Thanks, Nikola.
Yes, just let me share my screen. Can you see it?
Yes, we can see your screen.
Okay, so this print I was mainly working on doing some refactors, so I won't have much to show, but yeah, I will start with the refactors and then go through other things that I was working on. So yeah, I was mainly focusing on rewriting the tests for UI part of the OpenLMIS. In order to prevent some of the memory leaks that we have in our unit tests. So as you can see here, we have the refactor for UI layout. Right here, we have a refactor for the ALF UI. And here we have a part of the refactor for UI components. And the refactor was mainly rewriting the test to not define any describe scoped variables, and instead assign them all to the context in order to prevent some memory leakage due to some bug in Jasmine 1x. So that's basically it if it comes to the unit tests. I have also updated a couple of tests in the notification service to use data builders. You can see it right here. It wasn't that much. Other than that, I have also fixed randomly failing local database tests. And this was actually done before the release, but we couldn't, well, it was during the RC process, but we couldn't push it to the repository. It was changing something in the implementation itself. So yeah, and as you can see, I've prepared a couple of pipelines that were affected by those tests. And as you can see, for the reference UI, we have like around 15 builds without those random failures occurring. So that's basically it. In the requisition UI, we have a couple of random, but as you can check, they are not related to the local database, and were actually related to missing space. And same goes for the reference data UI. You can see that there is no random failures of the snapshot. So yeah, that's basically it for the local database tests. And the last thing I was working on, well, next, not the last one, but the one that is complete is actually investigating whether we can record fading functional tests. I didn't actually use the plugin mentioned in the ticket, but I was able to do it anyway. And to show this, I will go to the last failed build on the functional test. And if, as you can see, we can go back to, we can enter the build artifacts, the build, and here we have the recording directory in which we have all the features that has failed. We are recording whole features instead of scenarios, as some of the scenarios were actually failing because previous scenarios failed. So it made more sense to actually record whole feature. And as you can see, we can basically click the MP4 file and check it out. And as you can see, it's basically the whole test recorded. Now this one actually is failing, so we are not keeping the recordings of tests that pass. Yes, and the last thing I was working on is actually still in review, but I think we are good to actually showcase this, as there is no more open questions. So yeah, this is the design for system notifications. This is how it will look when there are any system notifications available. So we can see that we have a separate section on our homepage. The notifications will be sorted by the creation date, with the newest notifications being on top. The notifications shown here will only be those that are still active. So if we have some notification that is no longer valid, it exceeded its duration, it will not be shown on the system notification. And if the number of notifications actually exceeds the screen size, we will be basically able to scroll through them. And for the indicator up here, we are basically making it a link to the homepage with the amount of active notifications at the moment. For now, we are not going to implement any not going to implement the ability to mark them as a read, as we want to make the whole feature as simple as possible. And if we decide that it is something desired, we can always iterate on that later. Yes, also there was a suggestion to merge the system notifications with the home, with the link to home, but unfortunately, we currently are not supporting dynamic messages inside the navigation bar, so that would require some extra work. And that last suggestion was actually suggested by Ben on Angola and Malawi channels. Yes, so are there any questions? Okay, and here is how the component will look when there are no notifications. So it's basically say that there are no active system notifications available at the moment. Okay, so again, are there any questions to any of the tickets? Okay, then I will stop sharing my screen and pass the ball to the next person. Who wants to be next?
Okay, I can continue. Can you see my screen? Okay, so in the last sprint, I was focused on several issues to complete. The first three were related to data refactor and data builder pattern applying on our entity, our classes in requisition repository. So as you can see, these issues were completed during the code freeze as a code freeze task. So. As you can see, there are classes named with a data builder pattern, and these classes implement the data builders, and there is a structure that allows us to create such classes like order DTO using the fields based on other data builders. So such approach allows us to create tests, new tests, much faster and easier. And of course, there is a simple pattern of building a new class. And I have committed it in all the requisition packages, including unit tests and repository integration tests. Okay. So that's all about these three issues, the first three issues. The next issue was related to adding a new right for administrative messages managed. So I have added it in administration roles. Oops. Okay, so in home administration roles, I added a new privilege to the system administrator role. No. Strange behavior. Okay, as you can see, the first write is manage administrative messages. This write is currently added to a database migration and is displayed on the front end, but for now there is no usage for it. Okay. And a translation is added to UI. And the last issue I have worked on was about standardization, the build statuses in Jenkins jobs. So as you can see, currently, if there is an issue related to testing, testing parts in our job steps, the whole job is marked yellow instead of red. So, for example, in CCE UI pipeline, all the steps have passed, so they are green. However, if in the step build there is any failure related to testing, the whole build is changed to unstable and marked with yellow. if there is any issue related to Jenkins or some technical problem, for example, there is no space left, the whole job is marked red with failure status. And it also applies to sonar analysis. If the quality gate has failed, the result is unstable. And I have also added the notification color to Slack messages. So if there is an unstable status, the related color is used for Slack notification. And these changes are applied to almost all of the jobs that are using the Jenkins files. And also I have added it to performance jobs, however, in a slightly different way. In these cases, the changes are committed directly in every job configuration on the UI. So the changes are committed exactly here in this configuration. So as you can see, there is a specified code set after unstable status, and if so, the yellow status is assigned. And currently I'm working on designing requisition and item use of orderable FTAP version. So that's all from my side. Do you have any questions or suggestions? If not, thank you very much.
Okay, I can go next. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so in this sprint, I worked on these two tickets, but only one is currently done. It was about design for administration messages. And in this ticket, I've posted a new topic on forum where I described my solution, and it's here. So basically, administrative message will be an entity with title, message, start date, expiry date, create date, active flag, and outer. And message, create date, and active and outer are required. And here you can see the database structure. I've also added index on active and outer ID columns. And we marked start date and expire date as not required because some of the messages may just be always valid for some reason. There will be possibility to delete, update, add, and get all or one administrative message, so all the CRUD operations. And also there will be possibility to search by active flag to just get those active or inactive messages. Yeah, and I believe that's it for this ticket, which is in review. I've already posted another topic on Discord, so if you have some time to read and give me some thoughts, I will be glad. So if you have, if you don't have any questions, I will pass the ball to someone else. Okay, so who wants to be next?
Is there anyone else on the Gdańsk side?
Nope.
Okay, so I can just go next and talk about one ticket that I have in the down column. Hopefully you can see my screen by now.
Yep, we can see it.
And the ticket that I want to talk about is design of how do we handle versioning for facility type approved products. And in this ticket, I have listed several questions that we wanted to have answered. They are, what should happen with FTP when orderable is updated? Do we need FTP versioning? Do we need orderable versioning in FTP? And do we need to track FTP for all orderables? For all of that, I have, that's not the topic. I have started this topic. And I noted down my research on this. And essentially the output of the discussion is that we don't need to have a reference from facility type approved products to a version orderable. We should just be referencing orderable. As for the versioning facility type approved products themselves, I was suggesting that we do not version them because there is currently only one single property that we are snapshotting in one single place, and that's max periods of stock in the requisition. And I was concerned that it will impact the performance of requisitions in some way. But it was mentioned that it may not be clear that snapshotting is not the pattern that we want. And it was suggested that we go with the full versioning support for FTP anyways. So we'll just need to, first of all, pay attention to the performance in the requisitions once we introduce the versioning and remove the snapshotting. And there's also just a little bit of work in facility type approved products. First of all, to remove the ability to delete them, to introduce the active flag, the ability to update the flag, and some updates to search for the facility type approved products to respect the current setting of the active flag. Just to be able to specify whether this association with the product, program, and facility type is still active or not. Yeah, and as I mentioned, all of the questions are answered inline. The reasoning is on the mailing list, but essentially we want to have versioning for FTP, but we don't want to reference version or labels. So that's all that I wanted to mention. And I will hand it over to Mateusz.
Okay, so can you see my screen? Okay. So about my tickets, I have done two tickets in one sprint. The first one was the validation with the empty or blank white space name in the processing period. It was done by the by the checking in the validation service. And the second ticket was the save browser console logs with fail functional tests. The framework that we use, the WebReviewer, allows us to save console logs, and the logs are saved only when the test failed, and logs are saved for whole future. And you can see that in the functional test job, which is passed, there's not console logs, but if we check some which failed, you can see the bunch of the console logs. And if you check this, we can see the date, the scenario and the step and the log which was saved in the console. So do you have any question to me? So thank you very much.
Okay, doesn't sound like we have any questions. And with that, I believe everyone on the team has presented. And I just want to use this time to introduce our newest team member of Team Mind Apparel, Alexandra.
Hi.
So we have just started onboarding Alexandra this week. She has started on Monday, and hopefully in a day or two, she will start working on her first ticket.
Welcome. Glad to have you on the team. All right. Is that it, Sebastian?
That's it from our side.
That was very impressive. I didn't have any specific questions, but I just do want to highlight how much a lot of these features are going to help. Some of these things are kind of look like magic, like the video recording or some of the performance improvements that we're seeing in terms of the caching that's going on. So really, really good work during this sprint. I know, I guess most of the people on this call are the Soul Develop team, but were there any questions at all that people didn't get a chance to ask during the showcase? All right, I'm not hearing anything. So I think we're going to wrap up. I do just want to highlight once again that if we have changes to the format, how we want to do the showcases going forward, if you have any input on that, please feel free to, you can contact me directly. You can email me, you can contact me on Slack, or you can just bring it up in one of the public Slack channels as well. So thank you very much. Great work during the sprint, and we'll do this again in 2 weeks. Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks all.